Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the hardest things about preaching on the Passion of our Lord is that it is just so long. There are 141 verses in the two chapters that we could have used for today's gospel reading, chapters 26 and 27. Aren't you glad I only read most of chapter 27 instead of all of that? That is almost as long as Psalm 119. One way of handling this is to break the passage up, such as in the Treore service, 3 hours, which is typically on Good Friday, with multiple pastors preaching multiple sermons on different sections of the Passion. That is not what we are doing today. However, in reading through the gospel and trying to narrow it down, I was struck yet again by the bargain Pilate offers in 27 verse 17. Will the people choose to release the notorious criminal Barabbas, or will they choose Jesus of Nazareth, the so-called King of the Jews, the self-identified Son of Man? Now, Barabbas is actually mentioned in all 4 Gospels' accounts of the crucifixion. And you might even say that he is the 4th most important character after Pilate, Judas, and Jesus himself. Judas delivered Jesus over to be crucified. Pilate is the one who washed his hands of the whole sordid affair and ordered the execution. Barabbas was Pilate's last desperate attempt to avoid condemning an innocent man. That's not something to be passed over lightly. It was Barabbas's release that paves the way for Jesus to be crucified. And we actually know next to nothing about this particular character of Barabbas. The Gospels all agree on the basics. Matthew calls him a notorious prisoner in 27 verse 16. Mark says that he was among the rebels in prison and that he had committed murder in the insurrection in Mark 15 verse 7. And Luke says the same in chapter 23 verse 18. John describes him as simply a robber in 18 verse 40. But that is all we actually know for certain about him. Now, presumably, Barabbas was slated to be executed that very day by crucifixion. If you are going to be crucified, it means you must have done something seriously wrong. The slaves who rebelled under Spartacus, for example, all were crucified all along the Appian Way, lining the road from Rome to the end. The Jewish rebels, about 40 years after Jesus' death, all those who were taken alive were crucified for their rebellion. So Barabbas was probably a little more than just a common criminal. And here Pilate is a high-risk, high-reward plan for getting Jesus released, to risk releasing this dangerous animal back into society on the off chance that maybe the high priests will feel a little different about the religious teacher if the alternative is Barabbas the murderer. But we aren't even necessarily actually given a real name for Barabbas. There are a few manuscripts that give him the name Jesus Barabbas, but not a lot. So we That's probably not correct. Barabbas itself might not even be his given name. Bar-Abbas is actually Aramaic for son of the father. Usually in a patronymic name like this, the father's name would actually be specified. Jesus bar Joseph, Jesus, son of Joseph. Simon bar Jonah, Simon Peter, whose father is Jonah. In this case, it is not. Bar Abbas is just a generic everyman. Bar Abbas appears out of nowhere to take part in the passion account, and then he simply fades into obscurity. How unlike the Bar Anash, the son of man, who took his place. Now, that Aramaic phrase, Bar Anash, doesn't actually appear anywhere in the New Testament. The New Testament is written in Greek, but it is the term that Daniel uses in Daniel 7, verse 13, where he says, "Behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a son of man, and he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him." Perhaps this, in Aramaic, is the same phrase that Jesus uses in Matthew 26, verse 2, when he said, "The Son of Man will be delivered up to be crucified." And in Greek, the phrase "son of man" appears 82 times in the Gospels, 5 times in Matthew 26 alone, as Jesus' common way of describing himself. Matthew 12, verse 8, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." Matthew 12, 40, "Just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." Matthew 16, verse 13, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Matthew 17, 12, "The Son of Man will certainly suffer at their hands." Matthew 20, verse 18, talking about his crucifixion, "The Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and scribes, and they will condemn him to death." This Bar Anash, this Son of Man, is as unlike the Bar Abbas, son of the father, as you can imagine. Unlike the son of a father, the Son of Man has no biological earthly father. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit in the womb of his still virgin mother, Mary. He never raised a hand against the Romans in rebellion. How unlike this murderous rebel. Instead, he told Pilate that his was not an earthly kingdom. He told the Jews to pay their taxes, render to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. He was truly innocent of all the charges levied against him. Imagine the dirty, stinky, smelly, utterly unpleasant Barabbas, and put Jesus, the rabbi, next to him. There is no comparison between the two. And yet the Jewish leaders incited the crowd to demand this murderous rebel's release and the innocent one's execution. Imagine how shocked Barabbas must have been at this surprising turn of events. Had he perhaps had an opportunity to repent for his many crimes? Possibly. Was he simply resigned to death by this point? Possibly. I wonder if he had heard the rumors from his prison cell about this Galilean miracle worker. If he heard the clamor of the crowds coming into town on Palm Sunday. Whatever Barabbas' reaction to this turn of events was, one thing is clear. The Son of Man took his place on the cross. Barabbas himself had absolutely no choice in the matter. Barabbas did nothing to deserve mercy. Barabbas had no expectation of clemency. He is simply freed because Jesus took his place. Now, we can't leave it there, of course. Where do we fit into this story? We might say that Barabbas, the son of a father, represents all of those who are sons of an earthly human father. Do you know who that includes? You, me, everyone. Barabbas is, in a sense, a blank slate character because we can see him as an audience stand-in, standing in for each and every one of us. In a sense, we are Barabbas. You may not have rebelled against earthly government or authority, but you have rebelled against the divine heavenly authority of God. All your sins are acts of open rebellion against God, our heavenly King. You may not have actually committed murder, but I bet if you think back, you have been angry and hated someone before. You may not have committed theft or robbery, but you have coveted. You have been caught in your sins and crimes, condemned to death, eternal death, as the just punishment for everything that you have done. You, like Barabbas, languish under the sentence of death before the unexpected arrival of the Son of Man. The Son of Man who never rebelled, never murdered, never stole. The Son of Man who was truly innocent. But this Son of Man willingly took your place. He willingly accepted the fate that should have been yours. You are released from your death sentence because someone else has already paid the penalty of death for you. You should have died, he should have lived, but he died so that you may live. When you look at the cross, when you see the body hanging upon it, remember that that cross should have been yours. The body hanging on that cross should have been your own bloodied, broken body. Your sins deserve nothing less than for you to be nailed, broken, and bleeding to a rough wooden cross. But it is not you who dies on the cross, because someone took your place. You did absolutely nothing to deserve mercy. You had no reason to expect clemency for your sins. You are simply freed because Jesus took your place. O sons and daughters of a father, the Son of Man took your place. So now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep and guard our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, unto life everlasting. Amen.